That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Wheel has rolled around again, and good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Here coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, July 8th, 2017, and we'll bring all the men on. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we've got our brother Tim joining us from had storms this week over in Nebraska, but from Nebraska. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. Thank you for tuning in. And we'll have the phone lines open a little bit later if you want to call in, but we're going to start out with a word of prayer. John, would you open up for us, sir?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We love you. We praise you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. We're grateful for your grace and your mercy and your patience on your disobedient people, Lord. We ask that you would continue to guide and direct us. Give us wisdom and understanding.
Yes.
Give us more Holy Spirit. Father, bring us to that place of complete obedience where we love you with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. We know that your ways are not our ways, and sometimes things happen in our lives that we don't understand. Father, all that you do is right and good.
Oh, yes.
And we are to praise you in all things, Lord, the good and the bad. Standing on the promises of Romans 8:28, that you work all things for good for those that love you, abide in you, and are called by your purpose. And if we are followers of Jesus Christ, then we qualify for those promises. So, Father, I know there's those out there, your people, that are hurting one way or another. I ask that you'd send that great comforter, the Holy Spirit, to them, Lord. Father, I continue to pray for grace and mercy for your people. Continue to claim the promises, Lord, that you've given us as the sons of God. Father, our desire is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and to walk in the power of the greatest gift. And Father, we know that you can't give us those gifts unless we clean up our lives. We put you first. We put aside our own selfish wills and wants and desires, not our needs, but our wills and our wants and desires. And we become holy, just as your word says, and sanctified. But Father, we thank you for the things that you revealed to us recently regarding sanctification. Help us to continue to strive to go down that path to sanctification. Lord, that we may be mighty soldiers in your army. Father, I ask that you continue to bless this ministry, Lord. Continue to grant us anointing, Lord, that in the last days knowledge would increase, that you would continue to show us what it is that you want your people, the remnant, to know, to prepare for these days that are coming. We ask for your blessing on today's broadcast. Father, we forbid the enemy from operating during this broadcast. We ask that you would send your angels, Lord, guardian and warring angels, to protect this broadcast. Protect your people, the remnant. Father, give them eyes to see and ears to hear. And in these last days, Lord, bring those that can to repentance. Lord, bring them to proper baptism. Give us the opportunity, Lord, to fulfill the Great Commission in whichever way you see fit, Lord. But we ask that you would bring those people in our lives that we are to bring to salvation and the truth. We thank you for this great country, the true JERUSALEM. Father, our desire is to see you restored once again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over it. O King, but King Jesus, Father, let that be the battle cry once again. Help us to bless you in this nation. Father, we thank you for the things that we've seen. We thank you for the evil that's being turned back in certain areas. And Father, they know that their time is limited. So we just praise you and we love you. We ask for your blessings on tomorrow's services as well, that you would just grant us wisdom and understanding. Father, prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls to receive the truths that you've given us. And most importantly, Lord, that we would be properly preparing our hearts and our minds and our souls to abide in you, Lord, through communion. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
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 Well, we, it has been a crazy week. Fires, we were talking a little bit earlier, fires all over. It's that time of the year. We've got about a 1,900-acre fire just about 45 minutes away from us here up in the mountains. Not threatening us by any means, but it's kind of a mess up there. Breckenridge down in Colorado has a fire down in that area. And I know they're working on that. And then fires here. And, Tim, you guys had severe weather. Had storms roll through this week, I believe, didn't you?
Yeah, they just come up, like, out of the blue, literally. And, you know, really high winds, major lightning and thunder. And sometimes rain, sometimes not. I know there's, praise the Lord, we haven't really had any, but there's been hail pockets all around. It's just really... It's chaotic is the right word. I mean, it's so the weather man seemed powerless to do anything about it. They just can't forecast it or seem to get it quite right. So it's no surprise there. It is. Yeah. It is something to see.
I agree with you, Tim. We had some storms hit over here where I'm living, too, on the lake now, and just out of nowhere. And all of a sudden you got 60-mile-an-hour winds, and it kind of reminds me of, you know, how we're to be ready, you know. No one knows the day or the hour.
Amen.
Not even the Son or the angels, but only the Father. And, boy, you have to be ready these days for anything.
Yeah, it's a fact. I mean, it's sunny and cool one minute, and I mean, like, two eye blinks, and it, where'd that come from? So, it's been quite a, it's another one of those be ready, like you said. That's perfect analogy. I mean, wow. So, absolutely. There's a lot of sudden impact things going on all over the world right now. You see it. And I heard somewhere that there's fires all across the United States, especially southwest and western areas. I don't know how big they are or where they're all at. But, I mean, it was when they said the number was 200-300 fires. I was like, all at the same time. Like, wow, that's a lot of fires and a lot of storms.
Yeah, California, you know, got more rain and stuff, so they were a little they were better than they've been in the past. But boy, other places, you know, Arizona and the Southwest Four Corners area, they are hit. You were going to say something, John, on that?
Yeah, Phoenix seems to be burning up. I don't know if you guys talked about it last week. Jason could probably elaborate a little bit on it, but they actually shut the airport down for some period last week because it was so hot that apparently the runways aren't long enough for the planes to get enough lift when the weather's so hot. I don't know how that works, but
yeah, it was crazy. I mean, they shut the airports down. It was And it was one of the few times that I could, from what I could find, that's ever happened before. You know, cool
I don't
air,
ever remember hearing it. Yeah,
and you know, hotter air is thinner. So when you've got thinner air, that's why an airplane is going to be more efficient in the wintertime versus the summertime. But they didn't. Mm. They said they couldn't take off just because of the heat index. The air was too thin and couldn't create couldn't have enough lift, and it was just impossible for them to take off.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, at some point that asphalt just starts to liquefy again, too. I remember them saying if you can help it not to park on asphalt because the weight of the vehicles with the you know, 120-degree heat was just causing vehicles to sink in, you know, divots in the roads and in the parking lots and stuff. I don't ever remember hearing about the airports closing because of it was so hot, you know?
I don't either.
That's really interesting because we've had several blowouts on the highway in this area. Actually had a wreck here just a few days ago. Somebody was going down the highway back and forth and everything was fine, and here come a car and two big slabs of the highway just exploded upwards due to the heat expansion, I guess is what they're saying, but it was
wow.
So hot that, and, you know, here come a car around the corner and hit this 4-foot high. I mean, I've seen the slabs. They were 3.5-4 feet high. It shoved them up that high and threw the car in a ditch on its top. So that's an interesting thing. It's happening evidently all over the place.
Yeah, I was talking to brother of ours in Montana, and they just got hit with a 5.6 earthquake. It was about 100 miles from him, but they felt it. And apparently there's been more and more earthquakes there around Yellowstone than they're admitting or that you were hearing about.
I've been hearing
almost
that
on a daily basis.
Yeah, it was up in the upwards of, you know, 900, guy. I mean, it was a lot of them, of the ones that they're actually saying that they're getting, and they're saying that the geologists are basically saying that we're 6 years going into that seventh year overdue for something to happen to it. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and it's interesting too that you have something like that happening up there, and then you have millions of people flocking to the state of Wyoming, you know, here and not coming up pretty quickly. It's interesting because you see that, you see just the effects that I'm really wondering, just curiosity. You know, you take that when you got a comet comes through, that affects the crust of the surface, that affects the Earth, that affects magnetical poles, a lot of different things. And we've heard and we've talked a lot about it. You know, I think that every time that there's been a major earthquake, there's been a comet or you know, something that has shifted in the heavens, so to speak. You know, what do you think of, you know, you take millions of people and you move them into a state that, you know, has less than 500,000 people, or right at 500,000 people, in the complete state. You know, talk about a shift on the Earth's crust. I mean, you have that many vehicles, you have that many cars, you have that many people transporting from different parts of the country all going to one area. You know, talk about an environmental shift. But, you know, I think about it as, you know, something happening in the physical, too. I mean, that very, very seriously could cause something in the physical realm to happen based on just a shift of weight on the Earth's crust. Also, but you think about just, you know, a spiritual and a social shift. I mean, you're talking about bringing millions of people into a place that, you know, gets maybe 1 million visitors a year. And, you know, I mean, you talk about, you know, roads and road construction. I mean, summertime in Wyoming is called road construction season. There's a lot of times where, I mean, these roads are set down to, you know, one lane traffic, you know, for 20, 30 miles going across I-80 at a time. You know, and then all of a sudden you're starting to do for 1 week, you're expecting millions of people into the state. I mean, it's something like we've never seen before. And you talk about, you know, the sewer system and the water system and the food supply and the gasoline supply. It's going to be interesting.
Well, think of that and then multiply it times, you know, 100 or 1,000 and what's going on in Europe.
Yeah, exactly.
This morning there in Paris, finally, the looks like the government just went in and shut down, I think it was 25,000 migrant community. They just came in and told them, we're moving you out, and didn't allow them to grab their possessions or anything, not that they have anything, but and basically just said, we're done with you trashing our city. Keep moving. And unfortunately, they're all heading for Britain. That's their goal, to get to Britain. So we're everyone, they take care of the migrants. But it's nice to see that Poland and Hungary and several other countries are just saying no, telling the EU, basically, you know, go to heaven's antithesis. We're not taking them.
Yeah.
And then they threaten them, you know, with all kinds of sanctions. And that's why the EU wants their own army, so that they can enforce their will upon the nations who aren't bending with their diversity. So that brings to an article that I was going to talk about this morning, written by Patrick Buchanan. Most people know who he is. He was running for president at one point many years ago. But it says, is America still a nation? We no longer have the same ancestors. They are of every color and of every country. We do not speak one language, but rather English, Spanish, or a host of others. We long ago ceased to profess the same religion, Christianity. We are evangelical Christians, mainstream Protestants, Catholics, Jews, Mormons, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, agnostics, and atheists. Federalist Paper No. 2 celebrated our unity. Today's elites proclaim that diversity is our strength. And then it goes on to say, after the attempted massacre of Republican congressmen at the ball field in Alexandria. Fareed Zakari wrote, the political polarization that is ripping this country apart is about identity, gender, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, and social class. He might have added religion, morality, culture, and history. Zakari seems to be tracing the disintegration of our society to that very diversity that its elites proclaim is to be our greatest attribute. If the core attributes are about identity, culture, and religion, then compromise seems immoral. American politics is becoming more like Middle Eastern politics. So I just thought that was interesting that he would dare, you know, the first paragraphs are, we no longer have the same ancestors. We are of every color from every country and, you know, don't speak the same language, no longer a Christian nation.
Yeah,
I'm sure they'll hang him out to dry for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that kind of goes along with London's having a real problem with slavery. One of the things in what I was reading about the slavery over there was they said servants were being kept prisoner in poor communities or in ethnic minorities because some groups think it's culturally acceptable. And to those with eyes to see and ears to hear, you can read through that. And I mean, I'm pretty sure that we don't think that's culturally acceptable as a group of Christian people. We don't follow along with that. So, you know, it doesn't take too much thought to think.
The thing is, as infidels, they justify in Islam rape,
exactly.
Murder, torture, all of that to anyone who doesn't believe in their religion and in their God. So,
yep.
I mean, that's a lesson for all of us to understand is, you know, I was reading the most horrific stuff this morning, and I was just infuriated. These Muslims that are raping children 5 years and younger, and they justify it in their society because they're infidels. You know, that's the thing we can't understand. And then they have that stinking dimitude. Remember, dimitude basically exempts them from all of the stinking laws that they put on the average American white Anglo-Saxon Christian citizen.
Absolutely.
Kind of gives you a new understanding to why God said, do not be like the other peoples. Do not be like those that practice female genital mutilation. Do not be like those people that pass their children through the fire, that have them and you know, give them, burn them to Molech. But it gives new meaning to that. It really does. That there are, like you said, Tim, there's other cultures that, oh, well, slavery is acceptable to them. And so we have to, you know, we hear so much about slavery here. But oh, when other cultures do it, well, we have to be sensitive to that. And it is a clash of culture. Had our president in Poland this past week, and I didn't get to see or hear the whole speech and things that he was giving, but it seemed like he was making a statement. And that he was saying, we will defend civilization. That was a term that came out of that talk. And we will defend the faith. And those are not things that we have heard from any kind of leadership in this country in a long time.
Oh, yeah, we did. We heard it from Abomination, but it was the Muslim faith.
Well, that's true. And it was defend, you know, their this and that, but it, you know, it sure sounded a lot different coming from Trump, you know, talking about Western civilization. and defending that.
Yeah, it was refreshing.
Yeah,
to hear that. And you know, you look at those people in Poland. There was, I forget how many they said, 20,000 or something that showed up. And those are our people, though. You know, those are the white Anglo-Saxon, Christian, Scandinavian, kindred, and Celtic people. And they were cheering the fact that someone's finally calling a spade a spade, and finally, you know, the emperor has no clothes. It's all being exposed, the things that they're trying to do. And fortunately, there's some leadership in Poland and in Hungary that understands that this is an invasion. And
yeah,
you know, there's those that only come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And if you look at the pictures, we've talked about this before, but it's mostly young men, mostly young Muslim men that are coming over.
Absolutely.
And it's just like a Trojan horse without the horse.
It is.
It's really what it is.
It is an invasion. It always has been. It's not immigration. It has been invasion from the very beginning. You see it, you know, that's been brought to light down at our southern border, almost from sea to shining sea. There's a few families and children and stuff that come across as well, but you look and it is these young men,
fighting age men,
right. Well, guys, just so you know, I'm talking with Todd, and we're paging back and forth, but we're having internet problems here at the ranch. Everything was working, then it went down, so we are not getting out with this broadcast, but we are getting it recorded for replay. But Todd's working on it, and it's just something here at the ranch. It's not getting out to the servers, but we are getting it recorded for replay. So just to let you know.
Yeah, I don't know if you, yesterday, I mean, anymore, looking at the news, it's like, you know, we keep saying we can't believe it or how's that possible and this and that, but it seems like, for lack of a better word, every day it's trumped, you know. Yesterday, I'm reading, and I sent it to Jason, but this is the headline. Recordings reveal FBI gave man a rifle and urged him to carry out mass shooting to defend Islam. And it says, it's become a near weekly occurrence. Somewhere in some state, the FBI will announce that they've foiled another terrorist plot and saved lives. However, the data shows that a majority of these cases involve psychologically diminished patsies who have been entirely groomed, armed, and entrapped by FBI agents. Simply put, the FBI manufactures terror threats and then takes credit for stopping them. But what happens when they take it too far? What happens if the FBI actually tells someone to conduct a mass shooting? Well, in Milwaukee, we are seeing that unfold firsthand. A little over 2 years ago, Sammy Mohammed Hamez, 25, found himself in the midst of an FBI sting. Little did he know that he was being groomed for terrorism by the same government that claims to fight terrorism. Sound familiar?
Uh-huh.
Hamza was born in the U.S., but lived much of his childhood in Jordan before moving to Milwaukee when he was 19. For 4 years, he lived a normal life, blah, blah, blah. So the group entirely controlled by the FBI was plotting to shoot up the Humphrey Scottish Rite Masonic Center during an event. They had foiled the terror plot of a man who was planning to kill at least 30 people to defend Islam. Americans cheered, and everyone felt safer. The FBI had saved us from extremists once again. But what they didn't know was that this guy was recording these conversations. So the proof is there. But anyways, for months, two corrupt FBI informants goaded Hamas into obtaining weapons, according to his attorneys. Hundreds of hours of recorded conversations show FBI pressed Hamas into getting these weapons and eventually pushing him to carry out the mass shooting. Despite the intense peer pressure from people pretending that they were mass murderers, Hamas resisted. He didn't even want the gun. Trying to summarize it in some. But this is the gist of it is... just a second. Um, So former FBI Assistant Director Thomas Fuentes actually reveals the answer as he defends the tactics used by the FBI to set up poverty-stricken men by offering them large sums of money and weapons to commit crimes. The FBI's role is bribing poor, mentally diminished people to get them to commit crimes. He let out a bombshell statement confirming what many of us already know. If you're submitting budget proposals for a law enforcement agency, for an intelligence agency, you're not going to submit the proposal that we won the war on terror and everything's great. Because the first thing that's going to happen is your budget's going to be cut in half. You know, it's the opposite of Jesse Jackson's Keep Hope Alive. It's Keep Fear Alive. Keep it alive. There you have it. The FBI puts Americans in danger by grooming otherwise entirely innocent people into doing harm so that they can keep fear alive. Now, reading that, wouldn't you think that that was a fiction story? You know what I mean? Is it? Would you even think that something like that would be possible, you know, 10 years ago or something? But here we are. Knowing what we know about 9/11 and all that, obviously they're perpetrating these acts to continue to basically take the $1 trillion of stimulus funds, which the majority of it was used against the American people. I don't care what anybody says, in surveillance and in arming. I mean, we're basically militarized the local police departments.
Absolutely. Wow.
Yeah. And these setups have been going on for years and years. It's just, you know, I think they've gotten to the point where they can just tell people, hey, listen, this is what the FBI has to do to keep you safe. We have to bribe and hire people to steal guns and shoot people so that we can stop them from shooting people afterwards and tell you that now you're safe. It's double-mindedness.
They're not stealing guns. They're arming them.
They're arming them. Wow.
They give them everything they need.
Wow.
Including the opportunity. But you know that the plan is to shoot them during the perpetrated act, so there's no witness, you know?
Exactly. Well, I think that the takeaway that I get out of a lot of those sort of things, and we're seeing more and more of those kind of stories as time progresses here, and I think one of the takeaways I see as a good thing is the fact that I think this has been going on a lot longer than just recently,
yes.
But and it has become more prevalent, but we're hearing about it, you know, and that light is shining on them, and that's an opportunity for, you know, it's a prayer point, it's a repenting point for God's people, those men of lawlessness, it reminds me of Matthew 13, 41 says the Son of Man will send forth his angels and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness and will throw them into the furnace of fire. And I think that the verse 40 talks about the tares, and we know the story of the wheat and the tares and how their heads come up, and I see this as another, they're popping up all over the place, you know, in these stories, this lawlessness, this stumbling blocks that are being set in front of God's people. And it's like, wow, your time is running out, guys. I mean, repent or perish.
Amen.
So,
amen.
It's also that same opportunity for God's people to repent or perish. God, we haven't outed these people. God, we haven't prayed against them. You know, there's people out there who are in a backslidden condition. It's an opportunity all the way around. Granted, it's what a travesty that the shepherds, that the people who are supposed to be protecting you, are lying about it for profit, for gain, because that's what it's about. They just want to justify their job. So it's kind of a sad thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was interesting. My brother, he just got back from Ireland, and came back from there, and one of the things that he was telling me was he said that the Irish people absolutely hate the United States over there right now. They hate Trump. They can't stand him. And as he went really? Through and started trying to figure out, you know, what was behind that, it was because their foreign aid and their foreign security bonds are getting questioned. And basically, we've been sending millions and millions and millions of dollars over to Ireland every year to fund their welfare system, their healthcare system. A large percentage of that money that they use in that system is comes from the United States, which I had no idea that was taking place. And it was a couple things that really stood out is, he said that the people over there. He said, a beautiful country, beautiful, nice, friendly people, but he said just completely brainwashed. He said you drive across the country of Ireland, and from coast to coast, he said there's four radio stations that you can get in. You get them at different frequencies, it's different channels as you're driving across, but there's only four. And all of their programming, all of their radio programming, all of their television programming comes in from London. And they made a switch. I don't remember the year, so I don't want to say, but it was a number of years ago. It didn't used to be like that. Ireland used to be completely different and have their own system. And within the last 10, 12 years, they've switched over, and they just bring all their programming in from London. But he said over there, it's so bad that he said every time you go into to a city, a town, that they would have the queer flags hanging on the walls at City Hall, welcoming the queers and blessing them. And
that's in Ireland?
In Ireland, yeah.
Wow.
And he said that, you know, he picked Ireland because he'd been reading books on Ireland and had read them, but the books were 4 or 5 years old. And he said it wasn't Ireland that people were writing about 4 or 5 years ago. He said that country has just completely changed and it's been destroyed. And we talked about it, and he was telling me about the garbage and stuff and the filth that they had put on the television. And when it was interesting because we've been doing some research on it, and all of it comes from London. And, it really shows how you can have that. It is called television programming, as our pastor taught on it for so long, and it does program people. And it has a psychological effect, a physical effect, a social effect upon a group of people. And I thought that was rather telling, but he said that, you know, the people over there, he said they don't want to work, they're lazy, They don't have any jobs. He said you can buy a great place out there for cheap, out in the country, a farm, and, afford to pay for it. And, but he's like, you couldn't find a job. There's nothing. He's like, everybody's on the government bandwagon. They're getting some kind of assistance for something. And, what they like to do over there is work 20 hours a week, 30 hours a week. And be on some kind of program. And, talk about the destruction of a country in just a short couple of years.
Yeah, that's sad. That's our people.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's like that all through Europe. It's like that all through Europe. It's not, it's not just Ireland. It is. We've seen that change. That's how the enemy has been able to bring all these people in. It's because of the sin, because the people want to be like everybody else. We can have a government program. We can not work. We can work part time and get extra money and we can fly these flags and accept everybody. And, in Ezekiel 23 verse 35, therefore thus says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, bear now the punishment of your lewdness and your harlotries. And that was the promise on the JERUSALEM at the time of Ezekiel. When that prophet Ezekiel, the vision he was given, the words he was told to tell the people, and he did. And it was so that God had finally had enough. And he was bringing forth the punishment on his people because, as he says, they had forgotten him and cast him behind their back. And they thought that they could be like everybody else, and they found out they couldn't. They found out they couldn't because the majority of them were wiped out. And
yeah, what makes you furious is you look at North Korea, right? You know, they basically have an arsenal of nuclear weapons now, and the only thing that's keeping them from delivering them is their rocket technology, and they've made huge strides in that with no doubt the help of Iran and some other
without help from the U.S. too. You know, I mean, you look at the number of parts that came over for that system that they built over there, and I mean, you're talking U.S. surplus parts.
Yeah, and then, but the thing I just found out this week, and maybe you guys already knew, but they, you know, that's a very poor country.
Yes.
Those people are starving. Those people, if they can't find a dog to eat, you know, then there's nothing for them to eat. So where do they come up with all this money to bring in these specialists and to build these ICBMs? And, well, the answer is the U.S., just like you said. The Clinton administration gave them $4 billion, with a B, dollars to build power infrastructure to help them to become a more civilized nation, country. And they used all of that in weapons, you know, development, which obviously their end goal is to destroy any free nation. So it's just, it's kind of mind-boggling sometimes, I think, when you start to hear the truth of these things that has been, you know, concealed and kept from the people for so long.
Yeah, it is. The truth's coming out. It does. And there's been so much deception, so many lies in every aspect. As you mentioned earlier, from the FBI promoting terrorism here on the, you know, in the USA. And we've seen that all the way back, even back to the Oklahoma City bombing. You look into that and it's not just a conspiracy theory that there were, you know, that there were bombs had been put all through that building for 3 days previous. And you know, you see things like the Randy Weaver shooting, that was they had pushed and pushed and pushed and tried to get him to break laws. You know, they push and promote and, hey, do this for us. No. Yeah, do this for us. No. And I really don't think, you know, here we are just after the nation's birthday of July 4th, and I really don't think that is what people like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams had in mind. You know, when they signed the Declaration of Independence and fought for this country, fought against an unjust government to make this country a free country. I really don't think that the things that this nation, that this government is doing now, that are coming out, you know, billions of dollars over to our enemy to we're going to help them feed their people. Yeah, right. You know, where's the oversight in that? We can't put too much oversight because they are a different culture. That is not what, it's certainly not what God intended for this country, and it's not what the founding fathers of this country intended. When they gave their lives and their fortunes, in the battle, in the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, and then now you see them tearing down all of the statutes and changing names of roads and buildings. They're just trying to erase the white Anglo-Saxon.
They absolutely are.
Heritage. And you know what? They're succeeding.
They are.
You know, let's be honest.
They are.
they're succeeding. But
well, that you read at the very beginning, John, that Pat Buchanan wrote, is America a nation anymore? Well, let's wait a minute. Let's change history, and that's what our enemy does. That's what our enemy does. It wasn't maybe 75 years ago, the Anglo-Israel truth. When this country was founded, that was just common knowledge. When the pilgrims came over, they knew that they were going to the new promised land, the new Zion. They knew that. The country was founded to further the Christian faith. The Christian faith has always been a white man's religion. Like it or not, call me racist. Our pastor taught us that. He showed it to us in the Bible. You can look at history and see that it always has been. It always has been. And you know, what people have answered the call of the Great Commission? Have the Zulus ever answered the call of the Great Commission? Have the Chinese ever answered the call of the Great Commission? Now, granted, when they're introduced by the Anglo-Saxon to Christianity, some of them accept it. Very few, but some of them do accept it. And they go on and teach and train their own people, and that's the way it should be. But the bottom line is, you're right, this country was founded on a Christian ethic, not a Judeo-Christian ethic, but a Christian ethic. And God is not mocked, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back. Bear now the punishment of your lewdness and your harlotries. Guess what, folks? We are bearing now that punishment. We are bearing that now. Anything goes. Marry your dog. How long, O Lord, how long? How long till you take this lewdness from us?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw there, and one of the headlines on CNN was how Illinois became America's most messed up state. And I know we have several people that are members of the body that reside in Illinois, but basically, Illinois is on the verge of becoming America's first state with a junk credit rating. They have an unfunded pension liability of $250 billion, not billion, but trillion. And basically, it's been Democratic mismanagement for many, many years. Politicians promising things that simply can't be provided. But I read something yesterday that they were going to raise income tax 32%. And already their property taxes are insane. I have several friends back where I came from that, I mean, they have nice homes, but they're, you know, maybe a little above average with a nice lot. And they're paying $12,000 a year. That's $1,000 a month just in property tax. But, you know, that's just the first of many states that are going to eventually, you know, everything comes to light. Even Colorado is in, they're better than some states, but there's probably very few states that aren't, you know, deficit heavy.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, there's on a note that kind of ties in with that, there's two counties in the United States that are have a 51% hike in murder and other violent crimes, and guess what state they're located in? You know, so
I bet it's not Hawaii.
And there's no, it's Illinois, and there's it all goes in. And I read that. I think I read probably the same thing you did, John. That the numbers there and the mismanagement there was just staggering. That if anybody else ran their business like that, I mean, if you were a business owner or a CEO or whatever, and you ran your business that way, you'd be out on your ears so fast, because either your company would spew you out or it would go broke. But we've seen this inertia and momentum carry this along until the people
that live there are now being burdened, like you said, with $1,000 a month. That's untenable for just to live in a house that they own. You know, I mean,
which they don't own.
Right.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
Well, how could you afford that?
Wow.
How could you afford that? You know, paying for the house is one thing, and your vehicles and fuel and food and $1,000 a month tax, you know, just on your house. It's a plundering. It is a plundering.
By the way, I mean, there's some that are paying more than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it's a plundering. The money comes in. Oh, you have to pay it. You know, we have to increase services and stuff, and the money pours into the coffers of these, not just the crooked politicians, but it goes all the way up. It does. The services that they claim to provide, and it is a plundering, just a stealing.
But this will get the people riled up. Illinois lottery winners may have to wait to collect their spoils. So now they're saying that they may default on the winners of the Illinois lottery making the payments to them.
Yeah, how about that? Now the people have paid the money, right? Within however long they run it, right? What's the lottery do? They take a week or two or a month. So the people have put the money in. The money's supposed to get turned in to the lottery commission, and then you win it, and so you get half. I think is how they do lotteries. You get half of what's put in. Half goes to the state, and half goes to the winner. And they can't even pay that. How about that? Boy, talk about
But listen,
talk about corruption.
Here's the thing. If you want that money at once, you get it.
Yes.
By the time you pay taxes, by the time they take the penalties and everything else. So most people, they look at it and they think, well, if I'm going to get $10,000 a year or a month or whatever, probably a month for the rest of my life, well, then that's a better deal because
sure,
I'm getting two-thirds of it, not a third, you know.
Right.
But what they've done is it's a Ponzi scheme, just like everything else. At some point, there's so many of those payments, even though it's less than what the winnings have been, that they can't make those payments anymore, and that's where they're at.
Because they've stolen the money. They've stolen the money. And like you said, it's a Ponzi scheme. This will happen. No, it won't. No, it won't. Not when you have so many people stealing the money. Saw a headline over the July 4th, over 100 people shot in Chicago. Over 100 people shot in Chicago. And you didn't hear much about it, so it must have all been black-on-black crime, because if a white guy would have shot any of those people, it'd be on the front of the newspaper and everywhere else. So it must have just been black-on-black crime, because it just wasn't put out a lot, wasn't talked about a lot in the media.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, there's... Well, and that payout you were talking about, John, too, they purchase an annuity is what they do. I mean, they go in, the state goes in and purchases an annuity that pays you out your $10,000 a month, and then once you're paid out, they get the annuity. So they actually don't pay you anything. You know, that's
what they're running out of. They're running out of money to buy the annuities.
Exactly.
Well, they're saying that those bonds are going to go junk. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Moody's is about to downgrade the state of Illinois to junk, which means that all of those bonds, like you're talking about, annuities, I think is the same thing, kind of, are going to be junk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
Well, then you're going to see an uprising. People who think they won the lottery who don't get their payments anymore.
Yeah. And all the people that were retired, they had the quote-unquote good government job and fantastic retirement benefits and everything. They're a lot of those people are going to be, think of the shock. I mean, it was guaranteed deal. It was the government. How does that work, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
So,
well, look at United. Just, you know, I know several United pilots. Jason knows a story about a United pilot as well. But those guys had, you know, the world, you know, by the nads. And some of those international pilots, they were making bank. And, I mean, and they had golden parachute retirements and everything else. And I was just talking to one recently, and basically they stole 80% of their pension. And, you know, if that's what you counted on your whole life was your pension, you had nothing.
Yeah.
Jason knows of a man who lived, you know, extremely high on the hog, had everything. And when they stole, you know, when they stole that pension, he lost it all.
Wow.
Yeah, remember we talked.
I mean, there's just too many people out there that they, you know, when they're living high on the hog like that, and they think they got that money coming in, they think it's never going to stop. And
right.
And when they don't think it's ever going to stop, they just, you know, they live in debt.
Like Tim says, yeah. It's you know, it's going to be a rude awakening when. Well, what do you mean? The government can't run out of money. Well, it's already out of money.
Right. I
mean, that $21 trillion, I think it is now, is going to come home to roost at some point. There's the only way out of it really is to default, you know.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And that may be what has to happen. And Trump might be the one who would do that, knowing businesses do it all the time and just open up under a new name or whatever. But the bottom line is, let's face it, we can talk about all of these things over and over and over, but without repentance,
amen,
without a
that's
nation
right.
turning back to God, it's doomed. I mean, that's the bottom line.
It is.
That doesn't mean he's not going to protect his people. He absolutely will, because he says he will. There will always be a remnant. Those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. Those that will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and walk in the power of the greatest gift. And once again, we'll see those miracles, and the kingdom of God will grow like it did the first time. You know, it was the miracles that really brought the kingdom to fruition the first time. So,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. We read that.
About the analogy the other day of taking a knee, and a lot of people, you know, in a lot of places in the world. Down on your knees means that you've lost, you know. And but in God's kingdom, when we take a knee, God wins.
Amen.
And we,
it's submission. Yeah.
Amen. It's part of that repentance.
People in church, Richard?
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's part of that repentance. So, well, guys, we are out of time. Thanks for joining us, and we do want to invite you come to church with us tomorrow morning, starting at 8:30 Mountain Time. And 9:30 Central and 10:30 on the East Coast, and join us for scriptural insight, a good message by the pastor, communion, some good Holy Spirit music. Don't forsake the assembly, folks. And so we invite you to come to church with us. At scripturesforamerica.org, right there on the internet, and click on the live video stream. And hey, you'll see us there, and we'll see you there. So God bless. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Rolling. Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Snake hide!
Moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep
on moving over Snake Pie. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.